please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions. And Summers, before you jump into your part of this, I just want to say hello to all of our readers and invite them to send us any solutions that they find that they think would be interesting for us to cover on the Optimist Daily. We love hearing from people. And send it to solutions@optimistdaily.com.
Is it solutions or is it editorial?
If they send it to editorial, it'll go right to me. If they send it solutions, it'll go to the whole team.
I'm going
to
use that. Good job, guys. Well, mostly we share our positive solutions with each other one-on-one internally as a team on our Slack channel. But 7 days a week, we publish them for you. Written by award-winning journalists, delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. There's videos now, too, each week. So you should check out those videos on social. Now, in addition to all of those wonderful ways which you can read, access, and learn from the Optimist Daily, you can hear me and Christy in our occasionally hyper-caffeinated versions of ourselves first thing in the morning in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Who has a commute anymore? Nobody. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. Hi, how are you today?
I'm well. I'm not super caffeinated this morning, but I feel pretty calm and collected, so I'm ready to roll.
I like it. Well, this morning, guys, Christy once again was pushing Just Dance on me. So I think she's found a new love. How was your Just Dancing yesterday?
Actually, we took a break because we just took a little break from it because we had other things to do last night. But it was good. But I did a couple great long walks with Tucker and it was a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And so I feel happy and relaxed. And that's all I know. And Summers, how are you?
I'm okay. I tend to have a fair amount of increased stress as we get toward the middle of the week. As many of you guys know, because we've already talked about it, Wednesdays are when I meet with our impact investor and the whole team gets together. And so I have to do my CEO report on the state of the business. And we are working so hard to bring this business into profitability and to prove that telling good stories is good business for the world. So I feel a little bit of pressure on Wednesdays. I also had my second day this week of Brennan being up at around 5 a.m. So she's a bright and early chipper girl. So that is wonderful fun that I get to spend a solid 3 hours with my daughter before I start the day. But I am also feeling a little pinned. I'm feeling like I've got a big report. We've got a lot of emissaries. We've made some changes to the site. Yeah, mostly pinned. That's the reality of how I'm feeling today. But it'll be fine. Everything always works out, right, Christy?
It typically does, yeah. If it hasn't yet, then it's not done yet. That's what they say, right?
Right. If it hasn't worked out, it's not yet done. Well, yeah. And we're heading in a great direction on the Optimist Daily. The emissaries that are coming to join the community are fantastic. People are learning how to use the site differently because we do have a reminder wall up there. And some people find that to be a little intrusive, but that's just kind of the reality of business. And I think some of the stories we're going to talk about today are recognizing that the world has to look different. And we're all going to have to learn some different things as we come out of one chapter and into another. I know that Christy and I both sort of together chose this first story. So Christy, do you want to kick off with the headline?
Of course. So the article headline is Why the Coronavirus Recovery is the Perfect Opportunity to Enact Change. And this is in the business category from the Optimist Daily, but I think it also is in the policymaking category as well as community building, because it's going to take all of those kinds of thoughts to really come out of this particular period into the next period. They're talking about it as the before time and then the now and then the after the coronavirus. So the world is going to look different. There's no question about that. This article focuses on a TED Talk given by economist Mariana Mazzucato. And she's saying that to get back to, quotes, normal, that's really the wrong question to ask. And I totally agree with that because normal wasn't really working so well in many, many aspects of our society. The healthcare system was broken. Economy was problematic. the urging for growth, 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 unstoppable. I heard a doctor talking about in another context the other morning that in medicine, unstoppable growth or unimpeded growth is called cancer. So if we apply that same metaphor to our economy or to business, is it really the right goal to be getting to unimpeded growth and just growing, growing, right? When you don't take other things into account, like a homeostasis or a sustainability and that sort of circular life idea that really should be what's underpinning what growth means. There's healthy growth and there's unhealthy growth. And when you look at the way that our economy was functioning before, it was actually not doing so great for many, many people in the world and in this country.
We're stepping into a time of economic difference than we have had before. I have a friend who has a little girl who is a first grader. And the other day she actually had kind of a breakdown about COVID-19. They're staying at her mom's house for the summer. The little girl was like, when are things getting back to normal? And my dear friend was like, honey, they just never are. We're going to have a new normal. And a new normal is going to include things like better safety measures and, you know, social distancing, which is just going to be part of the future. But then there's also these really great parts of the future that are coming together, like increased equality and social justice, as well as economic strategies that are more inclusive. As challenging and scary as it may be that we are approaching a time of the collapse of an old normal, that really gives us a brilliant opportunity to build a brilliant new future. We can be more dynamic, we can be ambitious, and we can look at success in a completely different way than we were forced to in the past.
Absolutely. And I think we've already started highlighting this with our Back to Better series that we've been putting out on the Optimist Daily for the last few months. And some of the strains that are starting to really pop up and gain more prominence are taking on more energy because of the shutdowns and because of the pause that everybody's been forced to enact in their own lives. I think we get into these routines and we feel like that's how it always is, that's how it always will be, when in fact those are artifacts of a current moment, which once that stops, it makes you go, hey, this doesn't have to be that way. In business, I know that the Business Roundtable last year came out with a new standard of what a corporation's purpose should be. And it really has to take more stakeholders into account than just the share owners. For us to have a healthy, thriving economy, you have to take into account the community, the environment, the employees, not just cater to the shareholding class. And that's been one of the deep problems in our economy that has really been manifesting itself over the last several years. Similarly, you have to invest in public safety, not just police, right? You have to invest in public infrastructure and social infrastructure, not just putting people in prison when they break the law according to who owns things, right?
Community wellness. And we've gone over so much on the Optimist Daily about the communities and the way that we really are excited for a future to be envisioned. And I think I want to encourage each and every one of our optimists and emissaries to also think about their personal life and their personal goals and the way that they may have changed or be re-envisioned. I know each year around this time, I sit down and I make a list of my top 50 goals. And in the past, a lot of my goals have been very much about travel and exploration. And some of those goals don't really make sense anymore. So I've been feeling a little paralyzed on what real success looks like for me personally in a new normal. And even resetting that on an individual level of saying, what is really going to bring me joy? What is going to bring joy to my family and the people I lead in the business that I run? You know, not only are we shifting what we want as a society, but I think we are getting a chance to shift what we want as individuals and
absolutely
really kind of step into asking for what we really want, calling it forth.
And I think also as we've had to take this pause, and a lot of people working from home, and there are many people who are facing unemployment, and some of those companies will never come back, even if we get back to a more open economy. So one of the questions that I was talking about actually yesterday with Ronaldo, who's our impact investor, was maybe it's time to give up the Protestant work ethic, that intense drive that you're only good if you're working. Because if we move to a 35-hour work week that would actually be a much better quality of life for more people. Plus, it would mean that there'd be more jobs available. We can't just be robots doing the work that we're doing.
You know, a reduction in this expectation of nose to the grindstone and instead stepping into productivity instead of logging hours. And
right, right.
That is something, you know, I personally, you and I have pushed our recording of this podcast about 15 minutes every morning just to make space so that I could do some meditation in the morning. And I know when we began our at-home working, my entire life was around either sitting in front of this computer working and furiously working for every single possible second that someone else was taking care of my daughter. My husband, you know, was taking his role with our daughter. I would sit here and I would work constantly from the minute he took her until the minute he had to hand her back. Then I would care for her. And I had absolutely not one moment for myself during the day. And you know how stressed I was. And just that 15 minutes as I was meditating this morning, Christy, I was filled with so much gratitude that while I wasn't working or fingers on the keyboard, I just had 15 minutes and I realized that it didn't make me any less productive at my job because I wasn't sitting here proving to the keyboard that I was at work.
Right.
I think that you're right. We have a chance to evolve what we believe is productivity and what we believe should be the merits and rewards for that productivity as well.
And the other thing I just want to highlight about this article, and I really do suggest people read the whole article because it's really interesting. Mazzucato, who's one of the new wave of women economists. And I just find it so interesting that having more women in the field of economists, they're really coming up with interesting, innovative new perspectives on how a healthy economy ought to look. Another thing she points out in this is that it's really investment from governments that typically lead the advance of technology, and things like the smartphone, the technology that enabled that, were funded originally by the government. Mm-hmm. And then those advances like GPS, voice control, touchscreen, the internet, those all came from public investments in innovative ways of working, innovative technologies, which were then adopted in the private sector and turned into disruptive new businesses, which have transformed our world for better or worse. But I think generally for better, it's giving us an opportunity to move in a different direction with reason. So anyway, I just think it's very interesting to look at how technology is not the answer, but it's also not the problem. It's how we use it that makes sense.
Well, moving into another great double set of articles, and these two speak together. So I'm going to read both these headlines because we couldn't pick. The first headline is "New Reflective Coating Keeps Homes Cool and Comes in Different Colors." And the second headline is "These Colorful Solar Panels Show Renewable Energy Can Look Beautiful." These are both in the arts section of the Optimist Daily, but they're also in design and community building. And what I love about this set of articles is that it's really showing how investment in design and making these tools that will actually make the ecological footprint of our homes smaller and reduce the impact, if you make them attractive, it also compels people to engage with the tools. So, Christy, you had an article that you were reading that you said has been open on your computer for days.
Yeah, only because I just haven't had time to finish it. It's from the New York Times about how architecture could help us with dealing with coronavirus and the isolation that comes along with that. And I think we often forget how much real events in the world affect how we make our buildings, how we build our homes, and the whys. The reason we don't have carpet in our bathrooms anymore is because carpets are more difficult to clean. And so the tile bathroom is actually an artifact of prior disease outbreaks in the world, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting observation. But the thing I love about the article on painting is it's a new technology in paint, and it's using specialized paint with two layers. And the bottom layer is a porous polymer that actually reflects light and it scatters it. So it drops the temperature from that paint, it keeps that object 15.6 degrees centigrade lower than otherwise.
Yeah.
It's almost 29 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 30 degrees lower. That's tremendous. And if you put that on all the buildings in a city, on cars, on buildings, on streets, it could actually lower the temperature of that city. And that would help to lower temperatures all over. And it makes it a much healthier lived environment. If you think about the people who are living there. Similarly, the story on the artistically designed solar panels, I mean, one of the biggest things you get back, the sort of the NIMBYs in relation to putting more solar on the built environment, which is, I think, how we're going to get into generation using renewables really in the mainstream, is that, I don't like it, it's ugly, right? But part of that is that solar panels are sort of this fixed black pane. But when you can make them artistic, I think that's so interesting and it's innovative. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited by these innovations that also take into consideration where the world really ought and also build into them mitigations against the heating climate.
I'm curious about whether or not there is paint or asphalt is something that makes asphalt and all of the paving something that really can rise the temperature of an environment. It'd be really interesting to see if there were innovations in asphalt to reduce the heat that's generated by it. I'm sure there are. I'm sure that now that I've said that, somebody will find our own article on the Optimist Daily and send it to me. So don't at me on social media, or actually do at me on social media and tell me what is the solution on that. And as Christy said at the beginning of this podcast, send us your ideas. If you see great things in design or solutions, send them to us and we will cover them on the Optimist Daily as well as on the Optimist Daily Update. I'm going to wrap us up, Christy. Thank you guys all for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com if you're not already. And for just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness in addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Thank you so much, Summers, and thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.